In this episode of the Transform Your Mind with Coach Myrna, we are diving deep into the unknown world of life after death. I am speaking today with Nancy Rhines. Nancy is the author of Awakens from the Light, a book about her near-death experience. One day, she was an atheist, not believing in God or the higher power, and the next day, she was bringing us messages from heaven. Welcome, Nancy. I am already getting goosebumps from this conversation.
Thank you so much for having me on today.
You are very welcome. All right, so let me continue. I want today to transform your mind on our spiritual bodies. So don't go anywhere. Make sure you stay to the very end because I am very curious about Nancy's takeaway from, visiting heaven. And I'm sure that this is something that you also should be curious about. So let me just set the tone and give you some background information on Nancy's story. While riding her bicycle, Nancy was struck by a large SUV. The driver, who was completely absorbed in texting, plowed into Nancy, dragging her and her bike down the street. The driver, who was unaware that she had struck anyone, finally came to a stop when, horrified, onlookers ran into the road, blocking the vehicle. Suffering multiple broken bones, internal injuries, several severe spinal and head injuries, Nancy knew she was dying. Oh, wow. At that moment, she underwent the first of two life-changing near-death experiences. Her consciousness split between her frightened, injured self laying on the road and the impartial, peaceful observer consciousness who watched as first responders fought to keep her alive. Her second, more lengthy near-death experience came days later during the surgery that attempted to repair her traumatized body. Nancy, a scientist and confirmed skeptic, was shown the wonders of heaven, experiencing joy, love, peace, and beauty on such a grand scale that she wept at its magnitude. She then met and spoke with a being who gave her insights into life, love, and the wonders of the spirit. After her time in heaven, Nancy was returned to her body to begin the long, slow process of recovering from injuries her surgeon affirms should have killed her. Nancy chronicles her experience in her book, Awakenings from the Light. She has also authored Messages from Heaven and contributed to the book, Awakened by Debt. Now, I didn't mention it in her story, but one of the most amazing things from this experience was that Nancy considered herself an atheist. And after coming back from this experience, now, of course, she believes in God, and she has actual messages from heaven. So today we are going to talk on the topic, is there life after death? How an atheist became a believer. So Nancy, I did a lot of talking, so it's now time to hear from you. Wow, the girl that went somewhere that we all wish we could go. So let's start off by asking you to share the events that's leading up to this experience. Just give us some context.
Sure. Yeah, so you hit the nail on the head. I was an atheist. I was a scientist. I did a lot of science and technical writing up until the time of my accidents, and that's what I was doing, when this all happened. I was in a place in my life. I was in my mid to late 40s, and this was about 5 years ago, I was feeling as if something needed to change. I felt like I was in a rut, and I wanted to attribute that to maybe my job, or, you know, maybe I needed to find a new place to live, or, you know, I wanted to change something external. I was feeling not quite unhappy, but certainly not very happy in my life either, almost as if I knew that I wasn't living the life that I was supposed to be living. I was feeling very discontented, not really anxious or sad or depressed, but just not right. And that's where I found myself that late fall, early winter of 2013, heading into 2014 when the accident happened. I wasn't really a believer in anything other than the physical reality around us, and I wanted to believe, but I didn't see, you know, my scientific training taught me that I needed to find evidence for it, you know, physical evidence for it.
Yes.
You know, it's tough to do that sometimes. You know, it's tough to measure the spiritual realm from here on this, you know, physical plane of existence. So I think part of me also wasn't looking all that hard.
But part of your story was that you grew up a Catholic. So you had the foundation of Christianity, but
right.
then you went away into the sciencey world because you couldn't find evidence. What kind of evidence does the science world look for in spiritualism?
Well, we can't really measure it. It's like, for example, if we were, as a scientist, to investigate something, I'll just choose something kind of silly, like, or maybe not so silly to some people. Sorry if I offend anybody. But, you know, the story maybe of Sasquatch or any of those other cryptic creatures that we tend to believe in. As a scientist, we would want DNA. You know, we want to get a hair sample or a skin sample.
And you
want to
measure,
like,
the footprint and all that kind of stuff, right?
I want to measure the footprint. I want to see the DNA. I want to kind of...
Okay.
And that's what we would look for in the spiritual realm, too. But it's harder because it's not physical, right? So we can't measure heaven from here.
I know.
We can't necessarily see heaven.
No,
from here.
Did you believe in the Jesus story or any of that stuff?
Well, you know,
I mean, did you believe in...
As a kid, I did, and I guess as an adult, I believe that he existed, but I didn't attribute anything, you know, supernatural or spiritual to him. So I believed that he did exist as a human, and that he was a really amazing teacher, very possibly.
Okay.
But that's about as far as it went. You know, I saw him more as a teacher that helped a lot of people rather than, you know,
like,
an amazing spiritual ability.
You like Mahatma Gandhi or some of those other teachers, or
right,
even Buddha?
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Got you.
But I didn't disbelieve that he existed.
Okay.
The funny thing is that I was very fascinated by early Christianity, just as a historical thing. I was an archaeologist and a historian for a while, and that period of time was this big fascination for me. It still is, but even as an atheist, I was still very fascinated by the goings-on in the Middle East during that time.
Okay. Well, I'm curious, which is why I'm asking these questions, because I know that from my limited, you know, I'm not a scientist, but I'm well-read, and I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I read a lot of books. And I know that, Gil, the early scientists, the guy in the wheelchair, Einstein Stephen Hawking, and all those scientists in the beginning didn't believe in a higher power God or something. And then they changed their mind afterwards. So there must be some evidence, something physical that you can measure in that realm. You're saying that there wasn't until you experienced it yourself?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I was in the geological sciences, so I didn't really hard to measure heaven from here. You know, it's easy for me to measure... you know, the distance from, like, Seattle to Portland, Oregon on a map. I didn't know how to do that. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't other researchers that are able to do some really interesting measurements. So people like Dr. Dean Radin, who is starting to study some of this stuff, and even Dr. Sam Parnia, who is working with, he's out in New York, doing mm-hmm. a lot of research into consciousness and these other mm-hmm. higher states.
Okay.
Bordering on the spiritual, they're really starting now to get into some really great research topics that
they can actually measure. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Okay. They're actually beginning to come up with ways to measure it. But me as a geological scientist, mm-hmm. I didn't know how to do that, and it was beyond mm-hmm. my ability to do it. I believe now that some of the sciences are really starting to like kind of push the boundaries of what other physical scientists in the past, like myself, had thought was measurable, which is cool. I love that. I don't need it anymore for myself, but it's great to have that.
Right, exactly. You just mentioned the word consciousness, and I follow a lot on, you know, consciousness is one of my words. You know, it's something that I'm constantly learning on or upgrading my skills. And I started off with Deepak Chopra, who talks about consciousness and how it's not in the body, and it's, you know, they don't know where it is, and, you know, nobody knows where consciousness is and things like that. So I'm understanding what you mean when you say it can be measured, but, you know, he would also teach that, you know, we're three-part beings, so the consciousness is part of our spirit world and the mind and things like that. So, you know, I understand that. So thank you for, you know, for sharing that. But I want to ask you a question. So when you moved away from Christianity and Jesus and became an atheist because, you know, you didn't see the relevance of the story and you know, probably eternal life that Jesus preaches and all that kind of stuff. But so now that you have had this experience, are you no longer measuring it? Or how do you know now? I mean, I'm getting ahead of our conversation, but just as a broad picture, a broad paintbrush, what is it that you now can measure? Or what is it that you know?
Yeah, it's, you know, I don't claim to know everything for sure. What I'm fascinated by is I do keep up on the science as it's evolving in consciousness, because that's fascinating to me, and I'm beginning to do a little bit of work with some of these people that are doing this research. I don't have the skill sets that they do, so I'm just helping out as much as I can. But what I've come away with from my own experience, and we can talk about what happened to me, some of the things that was told to me or was demonstrated to me during my NDE, my time in the spiritual realm, mm-hmm. a lot of predictions that were given to me keep coming to pass. And that's, to what continues to reinforce the fact that, yes, this was real.
You have proof, right?
This is my mm-hmm. personal proof of... You know, for example, it might be people that I meet that I was told that I would meet, things that would happen, big unusual things that would happen in my life that happened, and actually some world events that I was told about before all of these. Let's just say that I was told about who would win the presidential election in 2016, and I was shocked to find out it came to pass.
Wow, because the whole darn world is shocked too. So you're one of the ones that was not shocked. Wow, that is amazing.
It wasn't really getting political. It was more like a businessman was going to run for the presidency and he would win. I thought, there's no way that's going to happen.
Exactly. You know, the whole world is in shock of that morning because nobody believed it. Even Hillary Clinton was in shock. She didn't come out of shock for days. But, all right.
Just when things like that happen, especially mm-hmm. in my life now, where I keep getting reminders that, this was real. Mm-hmm. This is your proof for you that this was a real experience.
Wow. Well, I can't wait to get into it. All right. So, before we go any further, let me give a shout out to our sponsor for this episode, ZamGood. ZamGood is doing something new. They're giving back to their customers for doing business with them. Every time a customer orders lawn service or vehicle washing services, they are rewarded from the ZamGood's Appreciation Fund. Learn more about ZamGood at the break. You can also visit them on the web at www.zamgood.com for more information. That is ZAMGOOD.com. All right, so let's dive back into this very interesting conversation. So, Nancy, you were, were telling me, in your intro that leading up to this experience, that you're feeling in kind of a rut. You're not sure what was quite right. No physical evidence, but you weren't happy. Now, as a coach, I come across a lot of my clients that are like that because they haven't really found purpose and they haven't found something that they feel they're contributing to. So I can understand that. And I'm almost sure that now that you've written these books and you're in this platform that you probably feel a whole lot better because now you're doing something, right?
Right.
I like that, right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure now you don't have any of that feeling, and you're on purpose, and you're lit up, right?
Right. Yeah. I've refound what I came here to do.
Oh, awesome! All right. Well, tell us. Can you share with the listeners your story from your point of view?
Sure, I'd love to.
Okay.
So this experience happened about 5 years ago. It was January of 2014. And I won't go into too much of the accident itself because that in and of itself can take up a lot of time. But I was, as you mentioned in the intro, I was riding my bicycle and struck by a woman who was texting. I had what I call a dual consciousness experience during the accident itself where I was able to kind of see the accident happen from outside of my body, but at the same time I was in my body. And and now in hindsight, I see that was really what Deepak Chopra might have alluded to. My
right.
higher self or a higher mm-hmm. state of my consciousness was kind of pulled itself out of the physical body, but yet the physical body consciousness was still alive and well, if you will, inside my body and experiencing
there.
Both.
Mm-hmm.
But the accident caused a lot of bone breaks, as you mentioned in the intro. I had a lot of damage to my spine, and in the hospital, it was determined that I would need surgery to repair my spine in order to be able to walk because it was kind of touch and go there for a while. It turns out that I had like a couple of shards of my backbone that had broken off one of my vertebrae and was just like within a millimeter or two of cutting my spinal cord. So it was pretty close for me to be a paraplegic. So that's why we agreed to go into surgery that following Monday. So
mm-hmm.
it was during the surgery actually that I had the big experience. And, you know, mm-hmm. going into surgery, I was really terrified. I've been through surgeries before, but this was the first time that I was this scared. I was really scared.
Okay.
I just felt in the pit of my stomach that something was going to happen. And what happened was, so they brought me into the OR fully conscious, which I still don't understand why they do that. But anyway, I was able to see the entire team standing around the operating
table.
Right,
They don't put you on there until you're on the table. I think they do that now. Right, yes, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so they gave me the anesthesia, and apparently what happened is I had some kind of a reaction to the anesthesia, and my heart rate stopped, my blood pressure went to zero, my breathing stopped for a while, and I didn't know that because I was under enough anesthesia that I was out of it. And what happened from my perspective is I woke up not in the OR or in the hospital at all, but I woke up standing up. I was vertical, standing up on a hillside in this beautiful kind of meadow.
Wow.
And to my left and right were these monstrous trees that had this what I call just an energy kind of scintillating throughout them. And off in the distance, kind of below me, were rows and rows of mountains with mist and a beautiful kind of bright silvery blue light kind of going through everything. And, you know, that's where I found myself, and I thought, well, wait a minute, this isn't right. I don't remember this happening before in surgery. And I looked around, and then I realized I wasn't just seeing stuff. I was feeling things. I was like things coming in from outside. So I was feeling what I call love, unbelievable big love coming in through me, kind of from all around. I say that I was being embraced by heaven's love or divine love. And it was powerful. What I also felt along with that was peace, a peace unimaginable that I've never felt before. Just peace on a scale that you and I can't imagine as humans.
Wow.
And a sense of connection to kind of all that is. And I
connection
just,
to the trees, I'm assuming too.
Right. Yeah. Everything. Okay. Connection to everything. I was connected to everything. Not that I was everything, but that I was connected to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to think to myself, well, shoot, I wonder if I died on the operating table because this isn't normal. But then if I died, what's this? Because I don't believe in anything after life, you know? I don't believe in an afterlife. And
so you're obviously not, you're able to have this conversation in your head. And obviously that's pretty, you know, you were able to zoom in on the situation. That's
right.
Good.
Yeah, I was thinking about, wait a minute, what's going on here? This isn't what the way it's supposed to be in surgery. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I was fully aware of what was going on. And when I had those thoughts of, wow, I wonder if I died, but then if I did, why am I here? Because I don't believe in this. Then there was an answer. And that's the thing that just, like, talk about being, you know, hit upside the head with a 2x4, right? This is what the spiritual 2x4 was, this voice that said,
Oh, wow.
You are, this is your home. You're my child. You're a part of me. Welcome home.
Oh my God.
And as soon as those words came through me, I knew instantly that was truth. It wasn't a truth. It was truth. This was home. This was my spiritual home, our spiritual home, and I was back there.
Wow.
And at that, you know, in that moment, I didn't want to leave ever. I'm like, I don't want to go back. This is too amazing. But it was unconditional love on a scale that humans can't really, we can't grasp as in our human being. You know, we can grasp it as a spiritual being, but as a human being, it's hard for us to really wrap our brains around that.
Wow.
And that in and of itself.
What made you decide to come back? Because I've heard certain stories that you have to make a decision to come back. Did you have
to?
No,
you don't actually have to.
Okay.
I didn't make a decision to come back in that moment. I had made a decision before I was born that I would have this experience and be sent back.
Oh.
So there's a subtle difference there. So in the experience itself, I did not want to come back. I didn't want to. Even though I knew I had family and friends here, I knew they would all be okay. I knew that.
But this unconditional love and the peace that you're feeling, you're thinking, oh my gosh, why
leave,
right?
How could I leave this again?
Wow.
Right? What happened was there was a spiritual figure, a womanly figure came up to me, and she said that she was my spiritual guide to this place and would teach me what I needed to know in order to come back to my life. And that's when I said, well, I don't want to go back. I told her, I don't want to go back there. It's going to be too hard. It's going to be painful. And
yeah,
she said, well,
you
already...
might be paraplegic. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That was my big... That was my fear. Like,
yeah.
Oh, my God. What happens if I'm in a wheelchair, right?
Yeah, right.
And she said, well, you've already agreed to go back. And I said, I don't remember doing that.
and then she
kind of like, almost like a movie on in the air in front of me, she showed me before I was born into this life that I have now, my spiritual self standing or appearing to stand with my spiritual team, my spiritual friends. And I was agreeing to do certain things when I came here into this life, and one of them was to have this accident, to revisit my home, our home, and come back and bring some insights back from what I learned. And so when she showed me that, it was one again that truth. The truth hit me like, oh wow, yeah, I did agree to that. Now I remember.
Wow.
Kind of like, you know, a little kid who doesn't want to do what they're supposed to, their homework. Oh, okay, yeah, I guess I'm supposed to do my homework. But that's what I had agreed to do. But,
wow.
So you could argue that, yes, I did make the decision. I just made the decision before all of this happened.
Yeah.
So
this is profound. I am so glad that I got to talk to you. I am so glad that we're able to broadcast this message, because I've been hearing this for so long, and now you have come with proof. So anyway, let's take our first break, and we will come right back. I am so pumped. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. I want to share, as we get into deeper of what this all means, because you know, we've all heard certain things, but now we can wrap it around in a nice, neat little bow. So, you know, stay tuned. We're going to be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Hello, and welcome to SamGood.com. We offer innovative solutions for the lawn care and vehicle washing industry for both customers and providers. We welcome you to review the information on our site so you could learn how we operate and how you can benefit. We're not just another lawn care or vehicle washing business. We're transforming the industry by directly connecting customers with qualified providers. Now, hold on to your seat for a minute, because what I'm about to say will probably shock you and hopefully pique your interest. Listen very carefully. The first 1,000 customers to receive 20 ordered jobs, meaning lawn care yard cuts, vehicle washings, or both, they will receive what we call CRAF, a Customer Relief Appreciation Fund, which is $10,000 paid out to beneficiaries of a customer if they pass away. Now, the customer still receives the funding even if we never do another job for them again after the initial 20. We offer this as an added benefit to show our appreciation to our valued customers. But wait, there's more. If a beneficiary of that customer were to pass away, that customer would receive the $10,000 or more. We say more because after we've done 20 jobs for the customer, $100 is added to the $10,000 for each additional job performed. So, every time a customer wants work done by us, we add $100 to their fund. We are the only company around that's rewarding customers on this level for just trying out our services. And our ideas of how to reward customers are only going to get better as we grow. Our valued customers will always remain our top priority. Thank you, and we look forward to having you as a customer or provider.
Welcome back to the Transform Your Mind with Coach Myrna. I'm your host, Coach Myrna Young, and today I am having the most wonderful conversation with Nancy Rimes. Nancy has been, you know, telling me things that I have heard, but just like she said, when she heard these truths, there was no thinking or any worry that, you know, maybe it's wrong or maybe I didn't get it right. You just know immediately. And one of the things that that she said, in just as we wrapped up the first segment, was that before she came into this physical body, that she had decided that, you know, when she had this experience, that she was going to go back so that she can tell the world about it. And that's basically what her purpose is, which is why she's so lit up, which is why she's authored 3 books, which is why she's on this, you know, podcast. And, you know, we're just shouting from the mountaintop that, yeah, when the Bible says that God knew you before you were born in your mother's womb, and when the scientists say that, you know, you chose your parents, that you chose this body, you chose this time to be born, that it was not an accident, here is Nancy, you know, telling us that that is true. Now, a couple weeks ago, I heard a near-death experience from a lady that was on a podcast. Let me see if I have her name here. I wrote it down. And basically, she had the same experience as Nancy when she was on the operating table. You know, she was stage 4 cancer, having tumors all over her, you know, throughout her body. And she got the message that this unconditional love, this peace, this beauty beyond compare, the light, and she knew that she was going to be okay. And when she came back out of that experience, in a couple of months, all the tumors had shrunk, and she is now alive, and it was just so powerful hearing from that. Now, Nancy, you didn't get into your physical limitations. Did you experience any residual effects of that traumatic physical injury?
No, actually, I did not, which is in and of itself pretty startling.
Yeah, right.
So you were alluding to Anita Morjani, and she's got an incredible.
Yeah. I did put it. Thank you. I sent that to you because so that you would be able to talk on that. But yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she had an incredible healing. What happened with me as a result, and I've talked to chaplains and ministers about this, and they see this a lot with patients who have near-death experiences where you have some kind of incredible touch. Basically, I call it being touched by heaven. When you're touched by heaven and it changes, somehow does something, it changes and maybe raises your spiritual state so much that it heals your body. When you come back. And
right.
I had an incredible healing. So I was with this spiritual being for what seemed like months. She taught me a whole bunch of stuff, which I put in the book, Awakening in the Light. But, you know, she taught me the things that I would need to know in order to come back and not just teach other people, but really to start by making my life better. But toward the end of my time with her, I was getting a little bit, I was thinking, well, I really don't want to go back. I know that I'd agreed to go back, but I don't want to go back. And I told her I was really afraid that I would go back to a broken body and that I'd be paralyzed or incapacitated in some way, you know, something really bad. And she, you know, before she sent me back, she did what I call a healing of my energy or spiritual body, where she placed her hand on specific areas of my body, and I could feel this energy coming into me when she was doing this. And it was, she placed her hand over my, my throat area, kind of throat upper collarbone area, and then over my left shoulder, and then along my rib cage, because I'd broken a ton of ribs. She placed her hand over my rib cage. I had broken, I think it was 5 or 6 ribs, and then a punctured lung on that same side. So she put her hand over all of that and kind of did some energy work on me. And then she sent me back. But the interesting thing is that when I came back, I healed so fast. Like the
doctor.
freaked out.
Months,
like,
weeks,
I was,
what?
Yeah, well, the original thought was that I would be in my body cast because I was still, even though they had put titanium rods in my back to stabilize my back, they still put me in a body cast because, you know, they didn't want me to make those sudden moves with all these other broken bones. So I was put in a body cast, and I had, let's see, what else? I had a, like, I had my arm in a sling because my collarbone was broken. But, and I had my neck in a cast as well, kind of one of those removable casts because my neck vertebrae were all busted up. So they expected that to take, they expected that to be 3 to 4 months before they could take that off, all that stuff off. And it was like 4.5 weeks later, they took it all off.
Because you were doing so well and they can see it in their x-rays or whatever that you were healing.
They were like, my gosh. I can't believe we're taking this off right now, but you don't need these anymore. We don't know why, but, you know, it was 4.5 weeks. It was,
and you know why, right? Because you obviously remembered everything that you saw and heard while you're out of the body.
Yeah,
you
I knew why. I didn't tell them. But
you didn't tell them? You didn't tell anybody about your journey?
Well, I told my close family members and friends. I didn't tell any of my medical team at that point. I told them later, much later. I did tell my family members and friends.
So did they believe you?
For most of them did, and that I was so blessed to have that level of trust and belief amongst my family and friends. It was wonderful to have them just say, "Yeah, okay, that makes a lot of sense." You know, it's an amazing experience. So I healed up really quickly. And the other thing that really hit home, especially with my the doctor who was my trauma doctor, who actually ended, he was, I don't think I mentioned this, but my trauma doctor was actually in the vehicle that was behind me during the accident. So he witnessed the accident, and then he was on his way to work at the hospital. So he was my doctor in the hospital, and he helped treat me through this whole thing. I was in the hospital for a couple of weeks. I didn't need any pain.
Wow.
That
is amazing.
The thing that freaked him out is that I didn't need any pain medication after the surgery. So they were trying to push pain medication on me, and I told them no.
Because they think that you'll be in pain, so I can understand why. Wow.
I don't need it. I don't need it. And so I kind of humored them, and I took some Tylenol. That's all I would agree to do. But she said, I can't believe that you're up and walking around with that many broken bones and no pain medication. That's unreal. And I said,
Broken
lung,
yes.
Broken ribs.
Wow.
Yeah, the broken ribs never hurt. They never hurt. My collarbone never hurt. My neck.
Those are very painful things. Yes. So why do you think she put her hand on your throat and your collarbone? Why the throat? I can imagine the collarbone and the ribs. You think the throat is so that you can actually, because the throat is our fifth chakra, and it is the chakra that's the energy center that is responsible for communication, and you needed to communicate. Do you think that's why she did that?
I think so. I think that was part of it. I also had a crack in my sternum as well, which is that bone that kind of holds your rib cage together, but where she placed her hand was actually more up where you describe, where it was the fifth chakra area.
Yeah.
So my guess said it was to help me be able to speak my truth.
Yes. Wow. I love it. Absolutely love it. Wow. That is
and whatever
so great.
Else, I, who else, who knows what else she was doing in there, but whatever she did took away so much pain, it allowed me, whatever she did allowed me to heal faster and without pain.
So she was obviously an angel. She was not in a physical body. She was just like a spiritual guide. The reason I ask you that is because I was, I didn't get anything out of it because I couldn't imagine. But I did, one of Deepak Chopra's classes was getting in touch with your spiritual guide. And every morning that I meditated, I was supposed to try to, envision my spiritual guide that was going to you know, give me some information and, you know, that kind of thing. So, and one of the things that she said is that you don't want any spiritual guides that are deceased. You know, you only want living people or something. I mean, so I wasn't quite sure if there's a difference, you know. Do you try to reach her now that you're, you know, here?
Well, she's with me all the time. And that's one of the things that I learned as a during my NDE. One of the messages that she kind of gave to me was there is no separation between where you are in the physical and where we are. It's just a different energy state. And when she said we, that meant everybody in the spiritual realm is around you all the time. There is no separation. So we are always together. And so she is here with me. I can, when I do specific meditation techniques, I can communicate with her more consciously, but she also guides. I mean, I know she has a hand in things that happen in my life because there are some things that happen in my life. Well, it may be, you know, the bigger divine consciousness that we call God as well. Mm-hmm. But certainly someone or some being or some set of beings at that level still has some, they help me out quite a bit. There are things that happen that are too coincidental for me to lay in and put into place here. I couldn't do it. There's just no way I could do it.
Wow.
They're working.
So I got to work harder and trying to communicate with my spiritual guide. I have
well, you know,
able
you
to
don't
do it. Yeah.
It can be certainly a one-way conversation to start off with, and I just encourage people to just talk. You know, find a quiet time. You don't necessarily have to go into a specific meditative state. You can just get quiet and just talk and say, "Hi, how are you doing? Love that you're
that's
in my
so
life.
Beautiful."
And I'm glad that you're here with me. I might not be able to hear you right now, but I'd love
or
to
even
hear you.
See you. Right.
Right.
Yes.
And I'd love to communicate with you more. But even if we can't, you know, communicate back and forth, just know that I love you and thank you for being with me. You know, it can be as simple as that to get the ball rolling.
Wow, I love it. I absolutely love it. Like I said, I've been doing this class and I sit there every morning and trying to, there she's saying, okay, invite them in. And is it a man or a woman? Is it, you know, tall or short? Is it whatever? And I'm sitting there and I can't see nothing. So I stop.
Yeah, it may be that we get, to, you know, some people get too attached to seeing something. You may not be someone who sees things.
No,
visually.
I'm not. I'm not someone who sees, and I've been working on it for a long time, and it's just not happening.
then if you're, you know, some people are more auditory. Like Eben Alexander is more of an auditory guy. So he communicates, he hears rather than sees. So, and I'm more that way too. I hear more than I see. We're not all the same. We don't have to all be the same. So when I teach people, I tell people,
this is
well,
so beautiful. Thank you so much, Nancy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can hear stuff. You know, you don't have to be like me. You be yourself.
What an incredible message that we're all spiritual beings. They're all here all the time. There's no separation. You know, we can go much deeper, you know, when coaches and luminaries tell you that, you know, you can do anything that you set your mind to because, you know, we're all have the same capability as Jesus and God, and we can do so much because we're spiritual beings, we're infinite beings, and, you know, we have all power, and it is absolutely amazing. You know, we are bound, or we think we're bound to this physical body, which is limits, you know, has limits on it. So what a powerful message and what a powerful story. I'm going to ask you one question before we go in our last break. So did your guide tell you why you were chosen to bring this message?
It wasn't necessarily that I was anything special, but many have been chosen to do this. It was more of the fact that I think this type of job was needed to be done, and I volunteered to do it. But okay. I'm not certainly not by any means the only person. I'm just one, and my presence, my messages might reach a certain number of people.
Sure.
And someone else's may reach a different audience. So I'm just like, it's part of a team. It's a team effort. I'm doing my part.
You're very right, because like I said, there, you know, there's that boy that they made a movie of, you know, and I've heard quite a few, you know, three or four stories. So I agree with you that you're a team. So I am thinking, from my limited capability, that the team is here to say that we're not separate, that God is love and you know, and peace and light and all those things, right? Is that what the message is?
Okay. Yeah, and each one of us will have slightly different parts that we want to talk about more than others. And we're also, one of the things that I was told is that we, as people who have crossed over and come back, if we take on the responsibility to talk about it, we're helping the entire planet evolve. Not just individual people, but the more that people like
purpose.
Me talk. And it isn't just people who've had near-death experiences, but other types of experience as well. The more that we share and talk and help other people understand what happened to us, the more that we can help the society here on this planet evolve over time. So it's for me, it's a big responsibility, but it's one that I accept.
Yes, of course.
I don't take it lightly, but I feel like I'm helping.
Yes, yeah. Of course you are. Of course you are. I mean, think of the person that's on the other end of this call, that are, you know, that is hearing. So many things. They could have, you know, lost loved ones, and, you know, that's another thing. They say you never die. You transition into this beautiful love, and then you meet family members, you know, and things like that. In fact, some of the near-death experiences, people have met family members and say hi to them and then come back and get messages from them and things like that. So it's... you know, I'm pretty sure the message is, you know, God is love. There's no separation and unconditional love and peace, and that's really the message of the Bible.
Right.
Love.
Right.
First commandment, actually. Yes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
The first commandment.
Yeah, it's, you know, God is love, all-encompassing and all-inclusive is what they told me.
Yes. Unconditional. Right. So awesome. All right, so let's take our final break, and we will come back and find out what some of the things that Nancy's doing and how you can get in touch with her. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hello, and welcome to SamGood.com. We offer innovative solutions for the lawn care and vehicle washing industry for both customers and providers. We welcome you to review the information on our site so you could learn how we operate and how you can benefit. We're not just another lawn care or vehicle washing business. We're transforming the industry by directly connecting customers with qualified providers. Now, hold on to your seat for a minute, because what I'm about to say will probably shock you and hopefully pique your interest. Listen very carefully. The first 1,000 customers to receive 20 ordered jobs, meaning lawn care yard cuts, vehicle washings, or both, they will receive what we call CRAF, a Customer Relief Appreciation Fund, which is $10,000 paid out to beneficiaries of a customer if they pass away. Now, the customer still receives the funding even if we never do another job for them again after the initial 20. We offer this as an added benefit to show our appreciation to our valued customers. But wait, there's more. If a beneficiary of that customer were to pass away, that customer would receive the $10,000 or more. We say more because after we've done 20 jobs for the customer, $100 is added to the $10,000 for each additional job performed. So, every time a customer wants work done by us, we add $100 to their fund. We are the only company around that's rewarding customers on this level for just trying out our services. And our ideas of how to reward customers are only going to get better as we grow. Our valued customers will always remain our top priority. Thank you, and we look forward to having you as a customer or provider.
Welcome back to the Transform Your Mind with Coach Myrna. I'm your host, Coach Myrna Young, and today we have been speaking with Nancy Rhines. Nancy is talking to us on the topic, Awakenings from the Light, how an atheist became a believer. And what a fascinating conversation that we've had. And I will tell you that I have been transformed, and I hope that you listeners are hearing this and it's reaching you and it's penetrating you, because this is what inspiration is all about. So Nancy, as we wrap up, I want to say that the pleasure is all mine. I'm like, you know, they say that when you, you know, receive something inspirational, your energy in your body is just feels like it's floating in you, and you have just sent this remarkable energy. You're probably vibrating at, you know, an incredible, you're probably vibrating at one of the highest forms, so that you can eliminate and share your message of love and peace and light. So how has your life changed since you came back from, you know, meeting your spiritual guide and feeling the love? You know, I didn't comment on that before when you talked about feeling this incredible love and peace. So what has your life been like since you've said yes and accepted this responsibility?
Well, you know, it's been more amazing than I would have thought possible, and not necessarily always easy, but certainly amazing. And, you know, writing the book was wonderful. I felt like finally this is what I was meant to do. But for my personal life, took it basically an about face, you know, amazingly loving now. I'm very centered and present. I make an effort every day, and I get into my zone in the morning where I'm very centered and very present. If I go into that, like I used to be on autopilot all the time, my consciousness was just on autopilot. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten to the point where I'm not that way anymore, where I call it like living from my soul rather than from my ego. Mm-hmm. And it's big, you know, you know what that is. It's living your soul. It's being present in the moment with, and being fully present, not here thinking about 20 other things that I should be doing. And, but really embracing that moment, and living that moment as much as possible, because this life is so short and so precious, and we have such a great gift here. We have the ability to learn so much and to make a huge impact in our friends and our family members if we choose to. This life is an amazing opportunity, and I just didn't want to see that slip away anymore like I had been. More loving, more connected. Moment,
huh? Right. Okay.
Yeah, and more grateful. So that's another thing, and definitely a lot less fearful. I don't have those fears anymore like I used to have.
Yeah, I heard that. The fear is gone.
Yeah,
fear is definitely gone. Okay. So, all right. So you were able to be in the present most of the time, if not all the time. You're able to write these books. Do you travel? Do you speak? How do you get the message out?
Yeah, I do. I do a lot of radio interviews. I do TV, okay. And I I do like to travel in person and do speaking engagements around the country. I do workshops as well. When I do the speaking engagements, I often have a weekend workshop that I give at the, you know, kind of in conjunction with that. And that just kind of gives a little bit of extra depth for those people who want to explore these messages a little bit more. I give them the opportunity to explore that a little bit more in depth.
I would imagine that. And also, you can also teach that class on and how to communicate with your spiritual guide. So awesome. So how can your listeners get a copy of one or all three of your books? And you know, if they wanted to reach you for, you know, to open this conversation up, maybe they want to share their own near-death experience, or you know, hire you to come and speak at a conference. How can somebody reach you?
Yeah, they can reach me on my website, nancyryens.com. That's nancyryens.com. My books are available, Barnes & Noble and Amazon for sure. They can also get those on my website as well. And there are links on my website. If people want to get a hold of me, you can do that through my website.
Okay, perfect. So that's nancyryens.com, N-A-N-C-Y-R-Y-N-E-S. .com. I'm also going to link out from my blog, which is blog.myhelps.us. You can head there to get a transcript of my conversation with Nancy today. Also to listen again to the podcast. You know, the show is aired on the radio as well as all the podcast players. And you can also link out to Nancy as well from my blog. Just want to let you know that I so appreciate you tuning in to the Transform Your Mind radio show and podcast. I learn as much from my guests every week as you do. It's like life school. And that's basically what, you know, is basically what I attempt to do, life school for you and for me, by bringing on these experts. And this was a very pleasurable experience for me. You know, I'm a Christian. I do believe in God. I do believe in Jesus. I do believe in afterlife. I do believe in consciousness. I do believe that, you know, when we came here, we had a purpose. And the purpose, we chose this body. And we chose this time, and all the things that Nancy has just confirmed, because, you know, she has touched it. She has felt it, you know, and she's still alive to talk about it. So that is amazing. Any last words, Nancy, before we wrap up?
Just thank you so much for having me on today. I really appreciate it, and I just look forward to having your listeners visit my website. If you sign up for my newsletter on my website, you get a free preview copy of my book, so sign up.
Beautiful. Awesome. Yes, a free gift. All right. Well, listen, until next time, namaste.